welcome to Sensibly Cynical. My name is Sean, and with me yet again is Frank Jack. What's going on, Frank?
What's up, man?
All right, today we actually have a special guest. She is a stripper and a comedian, Christy Monroe. How you doing, Christy?
Doing really well, thank you.
So thank you for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
So Christy, you want to be a comedian, that's what you do, that's what your hobbies, that's what your aspirations are, but currently you strip, and that's really how it goes. You know, a lot of people, artists, when they're getting together, they have those side jobs to pay their bills. Stripping ain't the worst one in the world, is it?
No, not at all, and I think that with my comedy, I'm lucky that I was able to merge the two.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's been getting a lot of attention nationwide, so I'm excited to see where it goes.
Oh, absolutely. I was seeing a video about one of your videos. You said you gave a guy a $2,000 foot job. That's a pretty good return.
Yep. Yeah, that was a fun night.
I saw one on YouTube that was really hilarious. It was the one where you said, like, clap if you're single, clap if you're a doctor. That was awesome.
Thank you. I love the
enthusiasm for money. But I mean, a lot of people up in New York City are enthusiastic for money. I mean, obviously, you want to be. What got you into comedy, first and foremost?
I'd been dancing for about 4 years at the time, and just night after night, I see really crazy, psychotic human behavior. And like the girls that strip, a lot of them are really stupid, and the customers are really crazy, and some of the managers are just like incredible characters. So right. I kind of felt like I needed to tell the world about this.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you say strippers are really not intelligent people, but I gotta be honest with you. I spent a lot of time. I'm Italian American. I'm from New York State, so I spent a lot of time in strip clubs. It's just part of the thing.
Uh-huh.
I can say I don't think the strippers are the stupid ones.
I wouldn't say that all strippers are stupid. I would actually say 60% are really great people that are really intelligent and nice. But I would say there's a solid 40% that have questionable beliefs and behaviors. And yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But they always say, you know, the strip clubs, you know, they always say, you know, all girls, they're getting exposed, blah, blah, blah. But they always say the people that are getting extorted are the people with the wallets. Right?
I don't know. It depends on how you look at it and what you define as your morals.
So I had a question for you. So basically, how much of the... I know you said you're traveling now, and that's pretty awesome. But how much of a loyalty customers do you have that, like, do you know by name, personal, or does that ever intertwine with things? Like, people you know personally that tip you day after day, or how's that work?
Yeah. Those are regulars, and like I have a home club, which I dance at most of the time, which is called Vivid in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And then I also frequently work at Gossip on Long Island. So you kind of develop regulars, and you know, like some of mine are people, maybe I'll see them like twice a month, or you know, there's a couple of them that like I see only maybe once every 3 months or something. Just depends on what their schedule is and when I'm going to be in town.
Yeah, that's cool. So,
I noticed in the North, stripping, usually a lot of times they're like almost like employees of the strip club. And I noticed in the South, a lot of it is a contracting work where you come and go and you pay for floor time as you go.
You're not an employee at any strip club, whether you're in the North or South.
You're an independent contractor,
It's all contractor. Yeah. Now, do you always pay for floor time?
Yes. I mean, there's certain circumstances where you can earn house credit by, like, doing things for the club. Like, for example, some clubs will have you do promotions, or, like, let's say you're promoting the club on your Instagram something like that, then they'll give you like money toward your house credit basically.
Okay.
For the most part, you will almost always pay a house fee.
Now, do you have to get, because I know sometimes you have to get, I know down in Florida you have to get like some type of exotic license. Do you have to get a license up in New York, or anyone get off the street can do it?
You don't have to get a license in New York, but actually in Florida, it varies like county by county. Mm-hmm. So when I started dancing, I started at Scarlett's in Hallandale Beach, and you didn't need any kind of license. But then I danced at the Red Garter in Key West for a while, Yeah, that was a great club. So I danced there for a while and didn't need a license. But then right as I moved out of Key West, the laws had changed, which this didn't affect me. Like, this isn't why I moved or anything. But the laws changed, and now dancers in Key West do need a license.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, like, laws change all the time. But
yeah.
As far as I know, there's nowhere in New York that requires a license.
Okay. Now, when you go traveling for your comedy, do you, like, kind of book things in advance, or you kind of just, like, you go there and you're like, I'm going to go to this club, I'm going to go on an open mic night, or do you have someone doing it for you?
I have an agent, and he lives in L.A., and he helps me get booked on a lot of things on the West Coast. A lot of the things I get booked at, mostly, like, East Coast and, like, around the Chicago area, is people seeing me from YouTube or Instagram, and
right.
then they're just interested in what I'm doing, so they get me booked. I just recently booked my first ever show in Florida, which I'm really excited, but it's not till January. So, I mean, anywhere anyone books me, I'm more than happy to go.
Yeah, well, what's that? We're in Pensacola, so where in Florida is this? I mean, maybe we could, you know, help spread the word or.
Oh, that would be great. It's in Oakland Park. I think that's really far away from you guys.
Oh, well, I mean, we can at least try, you know.
The state of Florida is really far away from us. Essentially, we're
Alabama.
yeah, all we
Oakland,
can do is try, right?
Yeah, I think Oakland Park's near, like, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know any of it.
Okay, so how long have you been dancing, and when did you start getting the idea? How did you get the idea of being a comedian? Did you just wake up one morning and was like, I'm going to do comedy?
No, I started dancing on April 14th, 2014,
mm-hmm.
and... I'm not, like, oddly really, really good with dates, by the way. I started doing comedy.
Yeah, I was like,
that must have been
one
traumatic day.
She's like, no, you're like, you're impressive. You're, like, multi-talented.
I was like, that was one hell of a day. That was one hell of a day. She doesn't forget about it.
Holy shit.
yeah, and then I started doing comedy on November 16th, 2016.
Right.
You said you started stripping in Florida. What brought you to the Big Apple? Was it because of all the exposure and the different clubs and the amount of foot traffic you could get in?
Well, I grew up in this general area,
okay.
but I ran away when I was 15, and I've lived kind of like all over the country.
Okay.
And then I was married to a Marine, and we lived at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina for 4 years. But then, and I owned a really successful mixed martial arts school.
Okay,
but
wow.
Then we got divorced, and my sister lives in Jupiter, Florida. So Yeah, so she wanted me to come and stay with her after the divorce, and I was obviously depressed and really sad. And then she wanted me to, after like 3 months of not leaving her house, she's
mm-hmm.
like, you need to go get a job. So I went to this nightclub called Monarch in West Palm Beach, and I decided that I was going to be a shot girl, even though in my entire life I've never tasted a sip of alcohol, tried a drug, or smoked a cigarette.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm like the unicorn of strippers.
The unicorn
so,
of human beings.
Yeah, probably. So I had gone to the club for like my first night as a shot girl, and I was wearing like a black party dress with like red high heel pumps, and
oh, wow.
I thought that I looked good. And so then that night, I didn't sell that many shots, and I found out that people don't really want to buy shots from a girl who's not taking shots. So that night, the person, you know, like the promoter of the club, he didn't pay me, and
mm-hmm.
I was really confused by that. But he's like, just come back tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So the next day I came back, and there was this girl there, and she was wearing like fishnet stockings with these knee-high leather boots and a corset, and her boobs were pushed up to her face.
Wow.
And she had like really bright, like seductive makeup on. And I was like, what does this girl know that I don't know? And so I was like talking to her, and she told me that she was a stripper, and my immediate reaction was like, "You whore." And then asked her the same 5 questions that people ask me now, which are you safe? How much money do you make? What really happens in the champagne rooms? Do you have to have sex with the managers? And what do you do when you're on your period?
Hey, Monroe, we're going to get there. I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm just kidding.
No, it's ahead. Okay. You can ask whatever you want.
I never asked that question because I've spent too much time. I know what happens.
Tongue in cheek. Maybe not literally, but yeah. Go ahead.
It's okay. So she told me, like, you know, most of the questions, the answers, and then I was like, can you help me? Like, I want to become a stripper, and I'm only ever going to do it. In my mind, I was like, I'm only ever going to do it one time just to see what it's like, and it's going to be my little secret, and I'm never going to tell anyone. So she was like, no, I'm not going to help you, and I was like, what? Okay, that was weird. So then I went home, and I had this, like, he was, like, my best friend at the time. His name was Mick.
Right.
And he was, like, an alcoholic. Uh-huh. And
his
I was,
name was Mick, and he was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
That's ironic. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. So I was, like, Mick, I'm going to become a stripper. I need you to help me. And he was, like, okay. And I was like, we're going to go to every strip club in South Florida, and I'm going to, like, take notes and figure out how to be a stripper. And he was like, okay. So then, like, every night we went out to a different strip club, and I literally had a notebook, and I was, like, taking notes on how the girls were dancing and, like, what they were saying to customers. What?
No, I said just you got to be prepared, you know?
Yeah.
You probably hated that. That was real stressful to help you out that way.
So then I had this, like, old broken Mac, and I had a friend who had this, like, this stripper pole thing, and he's like, I'll trade you the broken Mac for the stripper pole. And I was like, okay. But the pole was like, it was like a, basically like a shower curtain. It just wedged between the ceiling and the floor, so it wasn't particularly sturdy or anything. So, I told Mick, I was like, all right, Mick, you have to watch me dance and tell me what's sexy and what's not. And
Mick
was like,
you're torturing this guy. He must have hated it.
Yeah,
Mick was like,
he never talked to you again after that, did he?
So so we did that for like a couple days, and then finally I read like a million online forums about what the safest strip club was and everything. So it turned out that it was Scarlett's in Fort Lauderdale. So on a Saturday night, me and Mick went down to Scarlett's, and I told the bouncers, like, I want to be a stripper. And the bouncers were like, okay, do you want to get on stage right now? And it was like awesome. Saturday night at 11:30, and I was like, no, I don't want to get on stage right now. So
hey,
they were actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I said you must have looked really good to them that night.
I really didn't. So that's like part of the story. So then they were like, okay, come back tomorrow, which would have been Sunday. They were like, come back tomorrow at 4, and I was like, all right. They're like, you know, bring stripper clothes and like whatever shoes you want to wear and stuff. And I was like, okay. So I bought this like horribly ugly $12 outfit and these shoes that were like sparkly, because I noticed that all the strippers were wearing like sparkly shoes. And I thought like I was good to go. So I went on Sunday at 4, and you know, they had me get dressed, and then I went on stage, and there was literally nobody at all in the building. And I went on stage, and I was just like swaying methodically and definitely not doing anything sexy. And I thought, like, there's no way they're gonna hire me. So then I got off stage, and they were like, you're hired. And I was like, whoa, okay, great. So then that was my first day of work ever. Mm-hmm. And that day, and the story of my first lap dance is also actually a really funny story. But so that day I made $1,400. And I was like, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'll be back tomorrow. And so I've been doing it for 5 years now. And
that's awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So you've only been doing the comedy thing then for a year.
I started November 16th, 2016.
Okay,
so
a year and a half, too.
Yeah. Something like that.
Have you noticed any problems of doing both at the same time? Like, are you extra tired? Or they kind of go together pretty well, right?
They go together really well. The only problem that sometimes comes up is, like, a lot of comedy shows are booked on Friday and Saturday nights, and that's when I make most of my money.
Right.
So, sure. Like, a lot of the time, I'll do a comedy show and then run over to the strip club and, like, try and do both. But if the comedy show runs too late or something, then I don't get to work that night. So, definitely, like, with comedy, I've been taking an initial financial hit, but I kind of keep doing it because I believe that I'm going to sell one of those $1 million Netflix specials and it'll, you know, financially work out in the end.
So let me ask you something. I bet you, if you don't mind, about your stage name. So I assume Monroe is a tribute to Marilyn Monroe, or is that just, am I looking too much into it?
So my stripper name used to be JC, and in the club it's very, very loud. So, you know, customers will be like, "What, Casey?"
Yeah.
No, JC. And they'll be like, "Lacey?" No, JC. So I started saying, "Hi,
right.
My name is JC, like Jesus Christ," because when people see
yeah.
my ass
oh,
shake, they say
awesome.
Jesus Christ. But then this club that I worked at, the general manager was, like, very religious, and he didn't think that joke was very funny.
That was awesome.
Hold
That's
on, hold
awesome.
On, hold on. Very religious strip club general manager.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a little confusing, I guess, especially since I've definitely seen him sell an 18-year-old girl into sex slavery.
Oh,
but,
geez.
You know,
yeah.
It is what it is, I guess.
But,
no, but they changed my name to Monroe, and I don't really care, and I've never really been a particularly huge Marilyn Monroe fan, but I don't know, it just kind of stuck.
I have a question. So I dated this girl one time. They had a stripper pole in her living room, and she told me it was like a water slide for adults. Is that how you feel?
A water slide for adults?
It's like a slide for adults.
No, I don't feel that way.
Oh, also, I had another question. So is it hard to make, being, you know, not drinking, not doing drugs, is it hard to make stripper for other friends with other strippers?
It is, and like, I'm only friends with really one girl, and even her, she's done some things that kind of upset me that had to do with, like, alcohol and drugs. So, yeah, I kind of, like, I'm the outlier in the stripper world. Like, I have a really good education.
Sure.
I have owned a business, and, like,
mm-hmm.
so, I don't
you
know.
Really
I guess,
well-spoken and really educated. I'm impressed just by talking to you.
So,
thanks.
So, I've seen a lot of guys get kicked in the head by girls on the catwalk. Being that you've done a lot of mixed martial arts, have you ever had to, you know, roundhouse someone?
Yeah, I had one situation once that's actually the reason I left Key West, where somebody did something inappropriate while I was on stage. And I stuck up for myself, and then the club basically stuck up for the customer, and so I sued them for $2.6 million.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, luckily, I generally only work in, like, A-level clubs, but oddly, one of my favorite pastimes, I love going to D-level strip clubs. It's like the greatest
really?
Thing in the world to me. Yeah, I love it. Like, not to work. Like, I just like to go there as a customer just to, it's like going to Maury. Like, it's like watching the old drama. But for the most part, the clubs that I work in, usually, like, they have good bouncers and a higher quality of clientele.
But yeah, I grew up 6 blocks from actually a very low-level strip club. And it's funny,
mm-hmm.
I went back there about a few months ago for a wedding, and I went to the strip club, and they got prettier girls, and it was a lot cleaner, and
right.
actually took away from the experience. It wasn't as exciting.
Love
all the drama.
Yeah, I guess, like, clubs, they're always going to be trying to clean up their act and get better entertainers
right.
and stuff.
Absolutely. That leads me to, I have a question about, which states do you, like, enjoy? Is there a state that you enjoy, you know, compared to other ones? Like, which ones, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, lenient, do you like the more lenient states, or how do you like compared to other states?
Yeah, I don't like dancing in states that are full nude. Like,
yeah.
in South Florida, it's full nude.
Yeah, a lot where I'm from, too. I'm from, like, Space Coast, so, like, Cocoa Beach and stuff. Yeah, that's, and Daytona Beach, yeah, there it's full nude. So I get what you're coming from. Florida is, a lot of Florida, especially in the coast, you know.
Isn't most of the city full nude, though, too?
What?
Isn't most of the city full nude?
No, like all of New York, you have to keep your panties on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just prefer that. I think I'm like a very clean individual.
Mm-hmm. I know in New York, at least upstate, I know if you serve alcohol, then you have to keep your panties on. And I know, but if you don't serve alcohol, it can be fully nude. I know upstate, that's how it is, at least.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
Virginia,
I think.
Like Virginia, I lived in Virginia for a while. And I'm sure you probably heard of this, but the girls were having, had pasties on.
Oh, I mean, I've never worked in a place where
you
had to wear pasties.
You've heard of that, though, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, what's funny was, they would have, like, they would, you know, it was like $50 a dance or whatever, right? And then their pasties would accidentally fall off. Accidentally,
okay.
You know.
So, how much correlation do you find between stripping and the prostitution world? Do you see girls that have their pimps all these around? Because there's a lot of girls that double as strippers and hookers.
I would say yes. I personally, like, I don't know, I guess I keep myself really busy while I'm at work or something. I've never knowingly talked to a pimp, but one time I was at work and there was a girl who, you know, I wasn't friends with, but I was friendly with her. And, you know, physically she was like pretty equivalent to me. You know, she's like pretty and everything. And one day she came into the locker room and she's like, "Don't you hate it when the pimps come up to you?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "You know, they always come up to me and try to recruit me." And I was like, literally a pimp has never come up to me and try to recruit me. If somebody did, I would punch them in the nuts. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I think the pimps are definitely around, and I think that they can kind of sniff out, like, girls that have a substance abuse problem or girls that have lower self-esteem or, like, whatever it is. But, I don't know, maybe I just exude a certain amount of self-control or self-esteem where they just don't bother talking to me. So,
how often on the clubs that the clubs that you performed in, is there little extra activities in the back room, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off there.
It's okay. I'm just being careful how I word it so that I don't get fired from anywhere and I don't get blacklisted or anything.
If you don't
want to
talk about it, then we can move on. That's fine.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It really is okay. So I've been dancing for 5 years, and only one time ever I was like in a room and then I watched a girl like give a blowjob for money.
What?
And I was just like, whoa.
I'm sorry, that's not funny at all.
It was pretty gross, actually. Like, the person she was giving the blowjob to was like a 70-year-old morbidly obese disgusting man.
Okay,
and she was like, yeah, she was like a 25-year-old illegal French immigrant. It was actually like really, really sad.
Jesus Christ. It's funny. It's really sad.
Yeah.
It really was. It was sad. But no, I'm infinitely positive. It definitely goes on very frequently, but I think that like average people underestimate how much money the girls are going to want for that service.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in an A-level strip club, I'm sure that in like a D-level strip club, you can get a blowjob for $50. But like in an A-level strip club, like girls that are doing that, like you're going to be spending upwards of like $10,000. Like, it's going to be a lot of money. And a lot of the girls, like, they won't do anything with anyone until, you know, they've done a couple of champagne rooms with them. Like, they won't do anything with anyone until they've done a couple of champagne rooms with them over the course of a couple of nights, or like maybe gone out to dinner with them a few times and they're like positive that they're not cops.
That's a good point.
I mean, like, girls that work in the level of strip club that I work in, you know, they might say some really stupid things, right, but they're very cautious about not ending up getting arrested or anything.
Right, it's a professional manner.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about but, strip clubs. What about the stuff that you're actually passionate about, the comedy?
Yeah, let's transition to comedy. So,
okay.
Like you were saying, is there any, like, comedy clubs that you've been to that stands out? Like, any good experiences that you can share with us?
Like
any
comedy?
Place have you been, have you performed at that you enjoyed, you know, yeah, you had a good time at, or any good stories?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I performed at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas, which was a great experience. It was a huge audience. That's when I met my agent, actually. I performed on a Carnival cruise ship, which was a pretty interesting experience. I just, like, 2 days ago performed at Improv Boston,
nice.
Which was really, really fun. In New York City, I've been on Kevin Brennan's show, which is called Burning Bridges. He's like a writer for SNL.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
Yeah, and it's been indicated on his show that they would consider recommending possibly passing me for the Comedy Cellar.
Wow.
So that's kind of floating around there in the ether somewhere, and I'm hoping that that'll, you know, push through. But yeah, with comedy, like, there's certain venues that I really don't enjoy performing at, and then there's certain ones that I do. Like, unfortunately, there's this thing called the Bringer Scam that goes on in New York and other
oh, wow.
places. Yeah, the Bringer Scam is basically, like, you could be anyone. You don't have to be funny. You don't have to have ever written a good joke in your life.
Sure.
But as long as you bring 7 paying customers who are going to buy 2 drinks, then
wow.
they'll give you 5 minutes of stage time. So what's happened in New York and, like, other big cities, basically, is that you just get a string of, like, 15, I'm going to put quotes around this, 15 comedians who brought, you know, a couple of paying customers, and then it's like one horrible 5 minutes after the next, after the next, after the next. So it really killed comedy in New York City, and I actually really don't enjoy doing comedy in New York City anymore. I mean, like, if I get put on a show and it's not a Bringer show, then, you know, sure, fine, I'll do it, but I don't actively push to get booked on shows in New York anymore, because it really is just one big circle jerk of, like, people and their stupid friends, and, like, they're not, it's ridiculous, like, they're not funny, and it's very frustrating for me because I put so much time and effort into being good at this.
Yeah.
You know, and then to, I don't want to diminish my brand and, you know, my act by being on a show with 14 people that don't deserve to be there. So
right.
I mean, like, I have a show in New York City tomorrow night.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been pretty vocal about my stance on the Bringer Scam, and for the most part, people don't bother asking me anymore. I've noticed it just feels like comedy is just much more valuable in other places, like in Boston, or, you know, like, I've enjoyed doing shows, smaller shows, like in New Jersey or Pennsylvania, and I want to focus on getting booked more across the country in small-town type places, because it seems like that's just where comedy is more alive, which is actually kind of a backwards thing to how most people perceive comedy. They think, like, you have to go to New York City. And for me, it's like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here because the scam is so prevalent and it's so frustrating.
Sure.
Right, but you don't think in other cities there's that level of scam? Maybe that you
Yeah,
have
no, I think
with?
There is. I mean, it definitely exists in Chicago. It definitely exists in L.A. I think it's out of control in New York,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, like, I'm booked to do some shows in Mesa, Arizona soon, and, like, I have, you know, just other random shows in other places where the Bringer Scam just doesn't exist yet, which is good and a relief.
Right. How about other comedians? Now, you said you have sometimes a hard time making friends with other strippers. How about comedians? Do you fit in better with them, or?
No. Maybe I'm just a loner. I don't really know. I mean, in the comedy world, like, I'm selective about who I'm friends with. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not nice people, but I don't know. I guess I'm always just moving so fast, and I'm always traveling, that I see some of the same people, but it's very rare that I meet anybody that has the type of dedication that I have to comedy. So, like, one of my very good friends, his name is Chris Cope. He was on Conan, like, I think 4 nights ago.
Cool.
And he's hardcore obsessed with comedy, and so he understands why I'm always on the run, why I'm always like in all these different situations. But most people, like, they have a normal 9-to-5 job, and comedy is just a thing that they do sometimes, that they're going to invite 7 of their friends to come to their bringer show like once a month, and they're happy doing it like that. It's pretty rare to meet people that are actually looking to, you know, quit their job and live on the road and really hustle and really make it happen. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but they're few and far between, and those are the only people that are actually get discovered. It's not going to happen if you spend most of your time, you know, being an accountant or, you know, whatever it is that your job is. So a total dedication to comedy is necessary to make it actually really happen, and that's very rare.
That's really how it is in anything. That's how it is in anything. You have to go forward with all that attitude. But they say a lot of comedians are really depressed. Do you ever find yourself talking to another comedian where you're kind of like, someone better take the sharp objects from this guy?
yeah. I mean, I think that all of us, like, including me, have a certain level of sadness that our comedy comes from, and that's really what all of comedy is. It's self-deprecation, and then it's also kind of evaluating the sad things and how they got you to where you are now. So, like, I think at this point, being so new in my comedy career, I'm, you know, growing, I have a lot of fans, but people don't, they might think that I'm making a joke about being molested as a kid, but they don't realize it's coming from a real place, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I make some jokes on really, really heavy topics, and, you know, it's things that I've struggled with my whole life, so I think it's common for comedians that they're pretty dark.
Because it has to do with so much self-deprecation.
Hey, Marco, yeah. This is, you know, how we communicated was I was on your Instagram. I followed you on Instagram, or still do, obviously. But so I saw your video that you have in your bio. So can you explain what show you, was it a Spanish guy? I saw you with a Spanish guy, and that was hilarious.
Oh, Spick in Spanish?
Yeah, so can you explain how that happened, and how do you, I'm assuming your agent got in contact with them, or explain the process on that, how that happened?
No, that was also somebody from his production crew found me on Instagram.
Okay, so
and
sure.
Yeah, he's based out of New York City, and I'm actually going to be on his show again July 20th, like a couple of days from now.
Yeah.
He's really, really funny, and I highly recommend that everyone check out his episodes. Some of his episodes have more than 1 million views. Yeah, and I had gone out to eat with him, like, a couple of nights ago. He came to one of my New York comedy shows, and we were talking about how he got started with that show, Spick in Spanish, and he said when he was in high school, you know, he just got a hold of one of the movie cameras from, like, one of the classes, and he would just go around interviewing the girls, and, like, as an adult, he kind of grew up still doing it, and it just kind of evolved into that he specifically interviews strippers and porn stars and, like, other people involved in
sure.
Nice. Like, that kind of lifestyle. Yeah, so he's really funny.
It's awesome. It's kind of like a Howard Stern, really.
Yeah, it is.
A Spanish Howard Stern. Yeah, that's what I got from it.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
So, is there anything that that you want to, I guess, promote? Or you have any, like, I know you said you have that appearance coming up.
You said you're going to be in New York City tomorrow. You have a show?
Yeah, the show tomorrow, it's at, starts at 8:30, it's at Drexler's, which is at 9 Avenue A in Manhattan. I have so many shows coming up. I have one June 29th in Chicago, it's called Shithole, and
it's...
the
name of the place?
That's the name of the comedy group that puts it on.
That's awesome.
And I've done their show once before, but it's actually a really, really cool show. It's invite only, so you have to follow them on Instagram to get the location. And the last time I did it, it was at the Den Theater, and there was like 300 people in the audience. But it's all like word of mouth. It's super interesting how they do it. Right. So definitely follow me on Instagram, and then as soon as I know the location, I'll let you know if you're going to be in Chicago. And then I have another comedy show August 2nd in New York City at Broadway Comedy Club. I feel like I'm missing one. I'm going to be on a show on July 29th that's being filmed in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I got like a million things coming up.
When are you
going
to be in Silver Spring?
July 26th.
Yeah, so what's your Instagram handle? So if anyone listens to this, you know, is in any one of those areas, what's your handle?
Yeah, it's Stripper Comedian.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, no numbers, no underscores
or anything.
What's the story
behind this Thong Therapist handle that I saw?
Oh,
is that just anything that you chose, or?
Yeah, that's for my Twitter, and then you can also use it to find my Facebook page. Thong Therapist is just like, I feel like I'm a therapist wearing a thong. Yeah. I listen to people's problems while I'm naked, so.
That's my favorite type of therapist, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, pay me and I'll listen to your problems.
I don't want you to give away your routine, but do you have a funny, like, a joke that you think that got the best reaction, or what kind of, like, jokes do you think have resonated, you know, throughout your career so far?
There's a lot of them. I recently started, like, trying to do more crowd work, and I started doing this thing where I kind of, like, pick somebody out of the audience and start giving them a lap dance.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, I just did it at my show in Boston, and it turned out that the guy was gay, and it was so funny.
That's improv. That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
Nice. That's creative.
What do you do a lot with, when people come back at you?
Heckling.
Heckling.
Yeah,
there it is.
Big word for you. I know. Big word for you.
So when people heckle me is like kind of when it is noticeable how new at comedy I am. So because my act is so unique and interesting, I've been getting booked on like a lot of shows and headlining a lot of shows way faster than an average comedian would be. And I do really good performances, but then when I get heckled, I kind of like freeze up a little bit on stage because I'm not used to dealing with it. So of all the shows I've ever done, maybe I've been heckled 5 times. Okay. One of them was the show I did on the Carnival cruise ship, where this lady was like, "Get off the stage!" And like, it was ridiculous because everyone was enjoying my comedy. It's not like I was doing anything, you know, like it's not like I wasn't funny or anything. So yeah, that lady was a bitch. And at the time, I was so startled by her saying that I said something to the extent of like, "Baby, I think you should get on this stage." And like, "Oh no, too bad." And then I just kept going with my jokes. But looking back, I wish I had said something to the extent of like, "Oh, she's just mad because her husband's private room paid for my cruise," or something
That's
to
awesome.
That extent.
That leads to my next question. So what's the most expensive lap dance you've ever given?
A better question would be like, what's the most amount of money I've ever made in one night?
Well, okay, yeah, let's spin it that way, yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, the most money that I've ever made in one night was $3,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
So, now it's a different type of heckling and stripping and comedian and comedy. Obviously, what bothers you more when you're on the catwalk getting harassed by people, or when you're getting? You said you don't get heckled very much in comedy, but you said you freeze up when you're getting heckled in comedy. Is it because it's different, a different reaction, or?
Actually, like, on stage, no one's ever really, like, on stage when stripping, no one's really ever said anything, like, that was particularly rude. I think I just look really good when I'm naked.
Well,
I think that the difference with comedy is that people, like women, feel very threatened by someone who is beautiful and confident and clearly making a lot of money. So also, by the way, the only times I've ever been heckled, it's always been by a woman. It's never ever happened by a man.
Why do you think that threatens them?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, no man's gonna you know, have a problem with what they're seeing based on what I've, you know, the pictures I've seen.
Yeah.
Put your tongue back in your mouth.
No, I'm just
No, I don't know. I think that we're in an interesting time, like, with women, because, you know, there's, like, a lot of, like, don't slut shame and don't do this and don't do that. And I definitely think, like, the tide is changing in terms of what people are accepting of. But, you know, come to think of it, it's always been older women, too, that have always heckled me. Which is weird, because I've been in a lot of, like, social situations where, for example, like, one time I was getting my hair done, and it was an older lady who was styling my hair, and, you know, I told her I was a stripper, and her reaction was, "That is awesome. I wish I did that when I was younger, because then I wouldn't have to be 60 years old styling hair," and, you know, like, her reaction was, like, very encouraging. But I guess there's, like, older women who were raised with another set of morals or something, and they assume that just because I'm a stripper, that means that I'm dumb or, like, a hussy or whatever it is that they want to label me as.
Stripping, you know, takes a lot of guts, because I've always wanted to do it, and I never actually did it.
Now, Monroe, I'm like the worst stand-up comedian ever.
No, I was talking about stripping. So, oh. Yeah, okay, you can talk about comedians.
No, but yeah, so do you have any, like, experiences where someone, like, on the appearances that you've made, have you ever seen any, like, a crowd that got crazy, that just totally rejected somebody? Crowds?
No. One time I was it was an open mic, and it was, like, kind of a dead mic, and there was this guy on stage, and he was black, and this older woman from the back shouted the N-word, and it was, like, silence. Like, it was, like, crickets. Everyone was, like, oh, my God. It was so inappropriate, and it was so upsetting, but without missing a beat, the guy said, "You use that hard ER one more time, I'm gonna send you to the ER." And it was so funny the way that he said it. So, like, I think that in terms of, like, an angry crowd, that was the most vital I'd ever seen. But then when that woman went up on stage, like, literally everyone got up and left. They refused to even listen to what she had to say because it was just so rude.
Right.
Okay. Did you have anything, Frank, that you wanted to ask her?
Yeah, where again were you going to be in Silver Spring?
Silver Spring, Maryland, July 26th. I'm taping a show that's going to be on Amazon. It's not,
Okay, so you're not doing a show there in Silver Spring.
Right, okay. Yeah. Like, probably while I'm down in that area, I'll do some open mics and try and network with the comedians, but, I've never really been there before.
There's a lot of good places for that.
Oh, you should send me a message with all those places then.
Yeah, if you wanna, you know, give me a message us, like, as one of your schedules, and we can post it on our social media for you.
All right, that would be great.
And we can do our part, you know.
Okay.
What he means is he's gonna run it by me because he knows he has to keep me in line to remind me to do things.
Yeah,
okay, sounds good.
I have to crack the whip to get him to do anything with the show.
You know how, like, they brought one boxer, they brought to Central New York to the Boxing Hall of Fame, and they lost him, and he was at the strip club. I'm one of those guys. I can't concentrate on the test at hand.
I know.
So Broadway
good.
Comedy Club, you said August 2nd, you're gonna be there, and Drexler's at 8:30 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just had one more question about your career so far. Where do you see this? Do you see this, like, as, I mean, obviously I would hope so, but do you see this as, like, a long-term, like, do you have a long-term goal? What's your ultimate goal?
She wants to be on Netflix.
Like, what's your ultimate goal?
My ultimate goal, I own the copyright for a TV show idea, and hopefully I'll start filming that really soon. I recently became friends with a filmmaker in Chicago, so I think we're going to get the ball rolling on that. It's going to be, like, a comedy about stripping. And then I really want to have the type of fame that, like, Snooki had, where I want to, like, become super famous and, like, ride that for, like, 3 years and then kind of, like, let it fizzle out, because I really, really want to have children and be a mother and homeschool my children. I don't want to be famous for the next 30 years. I just want to, like, do it fast, make a bunch of money, and then...
Would you go into reality television?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You seem like someone that would be good at that.
Isn't that what Cardi B did? That's what Cardi B did.
Yeah. Okay, Christy, we do this thing, we do, like, a sensible or a cynical thought for the episode. Usually we let the guest go. So it can be, you know, like a thought you have.
All right. I would say that if you're a girl and you want to be a stripper, you should do that. And don't give a shit what anybody has to say about it. You know, nobody pays your bills but you. So if that's what you want to do, no shame. Like, do it. A cynical thought would be, don't ever envy another stripper's stack because you don't know how many dicks she sucked to get it. So just don't be a prostitute. I have a real problem with prostitution, which people are usually really shocked to find out.
Frank?
So, you know, this is my favorite two topics, comedy and stripping.
Yeah, that's what
and I... Those are my favorite two things in the world.
Hey, Chris, when I told him that I booked you for the show, he was like, he couldn't... He got hung, if you know what I'm saying.
That's not what I'm
saying. No,
but anyway, you can't help but be positive about stripping in comedy, because those are my two favorite things. Naked women and laughing. You know, it's good. But yeah, like she said, you know, there's nothing wrong with stripping, but you know you got to do it you got to still do it in a respectable manner where you're respecting yourself.
Right.
And you still have to have your walls up of what you're gonna not do and do.
Yeah.
It's amazing the things that I've been in the back room and girls have offered to do. I'm like, no, that's disgusting.
It's good to hear that you were raised well, because there's a lot of guys that, you know, like out in public, they might be like, no, that's disgusting. But then when they're in there, they're like, oh, okay.
Well, there's been a lot of situations where I've been in the back room where a stripper's been like, I'm going to do this. I'm like, I'll give you that money not to.
I promise if I because I have family in Chicago, or I've never been to New York, but I want to, and I plan on going really soon. So if I'm ever nearby, I'll make sure to stop by one of your shows and check you out, okay?
All right, great. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to do my sensible thought, and I'm really...
You didn't let me finish.
Well, I thought you were done.
Also, okay, comedy's awesome, and I love the combination of stripping and comedy and combining them together. I mean, that's a gold mine right there.
Good, I'm glad you like it.
I'm gonna go sensible. I'm really impressed by, you know, your confidence, and you know, it's really empowering for me to hear a story about someone who's kind of taking you know, a strength and maximizing the potential, you know, that you're doing. I'm really impressed by, you know, what I've seen so far from you, so I want to let you know that.
Thank you. And I appreciate it.
You're really hot too. But.
Thanks.
Who says that?
Oh, I said it.
Sean, my shower's right over there. We're going to put it on, like, we're going to make it cold.
We have a stripper on the line. Of course I'm going to call her hot.
You're
going to
take a cold shower right now. Right now I need to take a cold shower.
You've probably barely even seen a photo of her.
Oh, my God.
Not your videos, anyway. All right, well, Sean's going to go take a cold shower and
Five
years of castration.
All right.
And I think that's all we got for today.
Yeah, all
right, great.
Thank you for coming on Sensibly Cynical.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. And take care.